Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, we saw in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There are times when, as a pastor, we are asked about whether or not we believe in predestination. And frequently when people ask that question, they have in mind the subject that is called Calvinism. And the idea as to whether some are predestined to be saved and some are predestined to be lost. Well, I answer their question with, yes, I believe in predestination. Now, that usually surprises them because they already have an idea of where I'm at, if not flat out know where I stand on that subject. And I oppose Calvinism, and I oppose the teaching that God has elected some for salvation and lets others die and go to hell, and he has predestined some to be saved and predestined some to be lost. And the reason I oppose that is because that's not taught in the Scriptures.
Right.
Now, definitely you can find Bible verses that appear to support that. And if you listen to those who teach it, it can sound very convincing. But what you have to do is look at the total Scriptures on that subject. And nevertheless, getting back to the point when people ask me, do you believe in predestination? I say yes. And then I take them to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Where he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Wow. Right there it says it. How could we oppose Johnny? John Calvin, that is. Okay. He says, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those whom he did foreknow, God knew you'd get saved.
Right.
And everybody that gets saved, he predetermines, that's predestinate, okay? He predetermines what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants every one of us who are saved to be like Jesus. Well, that isn't what such folks who quiz me are looking for. Okay, but nevertheless, that is our verse. God has predetermined that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so we're to be like Jesus. The first message, we saw that Jesus is selfless. He is not selfish, he is selfless. He does not think of himself. He always makes his decisions and choices not based on what he wants, but on what he knows would please God and would be beneficial to other people. And then secondly, we saw to be like Jesus, we must have a servanthood, because Jesus was a servant. He came not to serve himself, but to serve others. And we are to be like Jesus in that we are to have a servant's heart. Now, obviously, these two go together. In order to have a servant's heart, you cannot be selfish. You must be selfless. Because if you're not selfless, serving others will be a chore. It will be an effort. And even within our human capacity, our selflessness, and we're not alone depending on our human abilities, we depend on the abilities the Spirit of God gives us. Nevertheless, in this body of flesh, being selfless can be taxing. Okay? But we must have that as a desire and then be a servant. Now, tonight we come to the third point, and that is sacrifice. And that's why we read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did sacrifice himself. Selflessness requires a willingness, even a desire to sacrifice for Christ's sake. I cannot be, you cannot be like Jesus without a desire to sacrifice. A willing desire, the attitude of mind and heart to live a sacrificial life. Now, listen, folks, that does not mean that we are giving up all ability or sense of enjoyment. Okay? That there'll be no more satisfaction because I am going to sacrifice for others. And therefore, I'll never smile again. I'll never have any time when I can do something I like to do. Because Dale Morey's always going to have me doing something for him. And when he doesn't, Doug's going to have me doing something for him. And if that's not enough, John's going to get in on the act. No, that's not what the Bible means by sacrifice. As a matter of fact, God will give us a life so satisfying and fulfilling that even while we are sacrificing to serve others, we will find contentment and joy.
Amen. Yes.
Will you get tired? No doubt about it. Sometimes in serving the Lord, you just get plain old bone weary. Okay? And there's times when you're serving the Lord and doing for others that you'll think to yourself, oh, my legs, when can I sit down and rest? It'll come. It comes. It does every day, doesn't it? Has there ever been a day that it didn't end? Okay? Well, of course not. You're here today.
Yeah.
I mean, every day ends. Now, some end, humanly speaking, in more pleasant conditions than others. And those others is where God gives us extra grace. Now, we need grace even in the good days that go easy. Can't face them alone just because they're going easy. We need God's grace. But then there come those days that go more difficultly, more hard, more strenuous, or more stressful. Yes, even while we're serving the Lord. Don't think that serving the Lord isn't going to have any element of stress.
That's right.
It's not going to be like floating in the sky on a cloud. It's like living right here on this earth, hitting the potholes that we're so familiar with at this time of the year. Okay? But God gives us extra grace. Illustrate it however you want. The point is that we must have an attitude of mind and heart to live a sacrificial life. And we'll need reminders to do that. I know in my own life personally, as I go through life and I'm endeavoring to do right, wanting to please the Lord, wanting to be a good Christian, wanting to be a good servant, I'll come to times when, I'll just be frustrated. And I'll be weary. Now, I'm the kind of person that sighs a lot. Okay? I'm doing something and I'll sigh. And then my wife says, having a hard day? Okay, now that's all it takes. And then I have a reminder. Okay, I probably need to check. Not my attitude, because my attitude's not bad. I'm wanting to serve the Lord. But as you serve the Lord, there are things that you experience. And we are in the flesh. And by flesh, I mean the physical body. I'm not referring to flesh as the old nature. I'll talk about that here briefly. But just as we serve the Lord, we do not become super saints. Just because you have a desire to serve the Lord and a willingness to serve the Lord, and you start out to serve the Lord, it doesn't mean that you're going to be unhindered. Okay, you're human, and so your expect if your expect expectations are to somehow be a superhuman person as you serve the Lord, you're going to be disappointed. And people that are then usually stop serving the Lord.
That's right, yeah.
And to the point that they drop out even of the Christian life because of things that they've seen happen to them and to others. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Okay? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep serving Him. And if you don't have somebody to say when you're sighing, what's the matter? Having a rough time? Okay? You don't have somebody to say something to you that helps you, then, you know, when you're having a hard time, just talk to the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And just ask, say, Lord, this isn't what I expected today. Today is really, I mean, you can just tell Him, today is going rotten. You say, well, I couldn't talk to Jesus like that. Why not? He already knows what you're thinking. Now, that doesn't mean that just because you think something, you ought to say it.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, He knows you're feeling that way. So for you to express it just gets it out there, where now you're making yourself open for Him to work. In the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Oh, no wonder it doesn't look right. I'm in Philippians. That'll work every time. All right. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul says. Now it's the Apostle Paul. The ultimate Christian. The one who, if I could just be like Paul, wouldn't I be a mighty servant? Yes, because he was. But in his serving, it does not mean that he was flawless.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? He was human, wasn't he? And in his humanity dwelt, he taught us this, dwelt yet that old nature which had its weaknesses. But here the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. So in reality, in his relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he was crucified with Christ. When Christ hung on the cross, it was as if Paul was hanging there with him. He says, nevertheless, I live. He was living. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So he was, you see, not depending on his own earthliness, on his own humanity. Now, he was a remarkable character in his own human achievements and accomplishments. And he tells us that when he writes in Philippians, where he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I more. And then he goes on and he names his accomplishments. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he was persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, he said he was blameless. But then he says, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And so if anybody had something to look to claim on, it would have been Paul. But he recognized that wasn't a value. So the fact that your parents may have been believers and great servants of God, and your grandparents may have been, and you may have been a servant yourself, or are a servant yourself, teaching in Sunday school, holding an office in the church, distributing tracts in the community. You have a voice, you sing for God, You have mechanical abilities, so you repair the church. You have financial status, so as you're able to give to the church. What else shall I say? Maybe it's your good looks. Maybe it's your education. We could go on and name many things. The Apostle Paul said, I count those things as lost for the sake of Christ. So when he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this physical body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. All of Paul's achievements, religious achievements, he did not depend upon. He lived by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we live for self, that is what we want. If we live for self, that is when we want. If we live for self, that is the way we want, rather than for Christ, we'll be disappointed. But you see, the Apostle Paul, he did live sacrificially. Now, if we live by the flesh, and I'm not now meaning the physical body, because all of us, until the day that we die, are going to have the physical body. And when we die, our spirit goes to be with the Lord, our soul and spirit in heaven. We don't need the physical body anymore, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But until that time, we're going to have the physical body. We must subdue it, submit it to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. We submit it to our God. In Galatians yet, chapter 5, and now we look at verse 24. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, lusts we today generally refer to as sexual things. Okay? But that word lust is not limited to sexual things, but to any evil or wrong desire.
That's right.
And the Apostle Paul says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Go back now, if you will, to chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And so now he says, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, we crucify them. We subdue them. We put them under the control of Christ. But that doesn't mean that they will not be a problem to us. Because the devil will, through this old nature, tempt us, entice us, try to get us to do wrong. Now listen, the devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything like God does. But what he does know is enough. Okay? And because of the legions of his minions, his evil spirits, he is able to know our weaknesses. You see, the devil can only be in one place at one time. He is not like God, who is omnipresent all over everywhere. The devil can't be like that. But through the little devils, through the demons and the evil spirits, they are all over. There's no way to tell how many there are. But nevertheless, they know what the weaknesses of Roger Hain are. And so they report to their commander-in-chief, the devil, Big D, Satan. And therefore, through that kind of information, he knows wherein to tempt us. And so, if we live in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then we will not fulfill the affections and the lusts of the flesh. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, we're on our own. And however religious I may have been on Sunday, let me tell you, come Monday, you have to feed today to eat.
Right, you got it.
Now, when I eat a bowl of soup, it lasts for quite a while, okay, in the nutritional value. And when I feed on the Spirit of God, that spiritual nutrition lasts for quite a while. But it's not going to work forever. And we have too many, and listen to me, this is especially true for older believers. We have too many, you can determine what age that is, okay? You know, it might be chronologically. It definitely would involve spiritually by how long the person's been saved. But we have too many believers living on past service for God.
Come on.
Living on past victories in Christ.
Come on.
Living on past blessings with Christ.
Come on.
And they do not have a current walk with Christ like they once did have. Now, adjustments needed. When I was 45, I was a ball of fire. Now sometimes I feel at 71 like a sparkler. Okay? And so I have to adjust what my manner of service is, my manner of doing is. But can I follow this analogy through? I need to keep the fuse lit so that God can use me and empower me. But for me to think that I'm going to do now at 71 what I did at 45 is building myself up for a fall. And a great disappointment. Simple fact. The devil's looking for every opportunity. Just about the time I begin to lament something, you see. And he knows I got him. I got his attention. I got him on a stick. And so he'll just begin to feed those thoughts. He'll begin to nourish those thoughts. And whatever he can manage to bring along into my path of life that he can, he'll do it. And if I don't keep my eyes on Christ, if I don't walk in the Spirit, so he says in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Oh my, the past accomplishments that I've had. Isn't God so pleased at all that I achieved for him in previous years of service? Well, isn't God lucky to have me? Of course not. We don't believe in luck, but I'm lucky to have God. Okay? If we're going to use that terminology. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, if I could just be like her. If I could just be like him. If I could just sing like he does, she does. Boy, if I just had the skills they have. If I just had the personality they have. And we forsake and we end up being negligent of what we can do because of envying what others are doing. Now, that picture's clear, isn't it? It's not a right picture. God wants to use me. You've heard it said already. It's such a cliche, but it's so good. God is not interested in my ability. He's interested in my availability.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's so true. So when you go out of these doors tonight, remember it. And tomorrow, when you're in your house and nobody else is around, except family at most, and sometimes not even them, That's when you need to remember it. That God just wants your availability. And so just serve Him with what you have. And that's true with giving. Boy, I wish I had $1 million. If I had $1 million, I'd do this. I'd do that. Every one of them missionaries, I'd send them some. A whole lot. Okay? And you need a car, I'd get you a car. You need something at your house fixed, I'd hire somebody to fix it. Oh, if I wish I had $1 million. You know that wishing never gets anything done.
Come on.
Never. I mean, take the religiousness out of it. Wishing never gets anything done. But yieldedness does.
Right.
So what am I going to do with the $100 that I do have?
Come on.
Am I going to give what I can? You say, what do you mean, what you can? Give it all. Well, now, wait a minute. I have an electric bill due. And a responsibility to pay that electric bill. And so I pay that electric bill, and now I've got $15 left. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm going to McDonald's. No, whatever God put in our hearts that we wish we could do, we can do something with that 15 that's left. Now see, that's where sacrifice may come in. Now, you may give it all 15, to whatever it is the Lord burdened you and you wish you had money for. But you know what? Pray to God and ask Him what He would have you do. Maybe He'd only have you give 10 and take 5 of it and go to McDonald's. Not impossible. I knew a missionary one time, and a pastor was giving the missionaries at his conference a set amount of money. I don't remember the figure, so let's just say he was giving each missionary $300 for the week for the conference. And he said, you know, we had a real blessing. We had some extra money given we didn't expect. So what I'm going to do is, speaking to this one missionary, he said, I'm going to give you an extra $100. The missionary said, are you sure that's what God wants you to do? Wants the pastor off? He said, well, he said, we had the extra money. He said, yeah, I know that, and that's good. But he said, did you talk to the Lord about it? Did He tell you to give that extra $100 to me? Well, no, I didn't pray about it. He said, well, I think you ought to pray about it before you just up and give it to me. You see, sometimes we can be in the flesh in wanting to do even good things. Even good things need to be led by the Lord. I'm thinking of the passage in Ephesians. Our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Ah, that's a good one. Amen.
See now, I always related that to getting saved. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. My righteousness, my goodness can't get me saved. And then I heard a preacher preach one time, and he says, you know, you don't lose your righteousness when you get saved.
Right.
You still have your fleshly righteousness.
Right.
And even as a believer, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, not the righteousness that Jesus Christ creates in us, or not the righteousness that we grow by faith and grace to achieve in our daily living, but our righteousness that is of the old nature. You see, your old nature doesn't just prompt you to do evil. Your old nature can prompt you to do even good if it's not really good. If it's not according to God's will for your life. You say, I don't understand. I'm a little confused with all of this. That's all right. There are those of you that understand the thing I'm saying. I can see it written on your face. And there are some of you that may not understand. That's why we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we need to be sacrificing for Him. And with that, Let me finish with this illustration. There was a missionary years ago when they didn't fly to their country but went on boats, ships. And he was coming home after many years in his foreign land. And as that ship pulled into the port, they put the plank down for them to walk off. I almost said walk the plank, but it's another matter. But down, there were bands there playing, and there were crowds there cheering. And then he saw Teddy Roosevelt, and it was a welcoming home for Teddy Roosevelt. Felt a little let down. You see, there won't be bands and crowds when you do right and serve the Lord. But I remind you, we're not home yet.
Amen.
When we get home to heaven, that's where the bands and the crowds will be. That's where the accolades will come. Now, I don't know if there'll really be bands there, but that's when we'll be home, and that's when we'll get what many times we look for on this earth. There's a gospel song, well, we're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior.
Yes, sir.
Father in heaven, help us to do that so we can be faithful servants to you. Amen. All right, now we need to take prayer requests, and what I thought was going to end early ended late. It's a problem us preachers have, I guess. All right, prayer requests. Let's make them quick so we can get to prayer time. Autumn. All right, Autumn wants prayer for her friend and dad. Is that what I heard? Okay. Over here, Chris. Okay. Prayer for her house and its repairs. All right. Others on this side, Tanya.
Found out recently that Tiffany Gottsetter has found out she's got cancer. So she needs some prayer. And also Debbie, she's also tired.
Okay. All right, Tiffany Dockstetter found out she has cancer, and Debbie Bell is who you're referring to. Okay. Debbie Bell is tired. Others on this side. Caleb.
I'm praying for my little brother and I work. Is that getting
well? Interpretation, Mom.
His robot is broken.
Okay, very good. Others over in this side. Dale.
Yes, just keep my family in prayer. The Lord showed us some things, and we just need some hope to go in some direction.
All right. He asked prayer for his family and strength to do what the Lord showed them. Okay, any others on this side? Amy? Another unspoken, thank you. Any others on this side? We're going to leave, not come back. Luke wants prayer for his brothers and sisters. And sister. Okay. All right, Zane.
Unspoken salvation.
Zane unspoken and for his salvation. Very good. Others here?
Trevor.
Just pray for a boy got bit by a shark.
Help? Understanding?
A boy got bit by a shark.
Oh, okay. He saw something on TV and a boy got bit by a shark. I take it wasn't a neighbor.
No.
Okay. Chris.
Just pray for my family and my sister.
Okay. He wants prayer for his family, his sister, and mom. All right. Any others? Montgomery's? Okay. Ruth Ann?
Sick.
Okay. Of course, Bonnie will catch up to the recovery from her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His name is Eve Boney. Mm-hmm. Lisa Bob Calto.
Okay. Okay, very good. Rayanne. Wants prayer for her papa.
Zane.
And for Zane.
Right.
All right. Very good, Rayanne. We'll do that. Sharon.
She's a friend here. She had a hip replacement last October. Was in Rio, Cuba. Doctor found an infection. She's been open 3-4 times. Had it scraped. Went to Rochester. They took the hip back out. She's got a spacer in. They did a test yesterday. No results yet to see if it's cleared up. And so she can have one put back in. She really needs prayers.
What's her name again?
Carol Riggs.
Carol
Riggs.
Riggs. Okay, very good. Any others? Doug.
Left foot.
Okay, for his grandmother's left foot.
Let's pray for my brothers also.
Your brothers?
Yeah, nobody's going through a tough time or anything like that. It's just like to lift them up too. I'm thinking of that. So.
Okay, very good. Doug wants prayer for his brothers. Very good. John.
I guess we got prayers for the boys, especially David. He's got a got some decisions to make, and I just ask that the Lord would intervene and
hear. Okay, very good. Prayer for the sons, especially David, who has some decisions to make. Other requests? All right, let's go to prayer then.
What missionary are we praying for?
You know, I left that list at home.
Okay.
We did Bergman's, we did Seatman's, so let's go with the Stokes.
Stokes.
Okay. And their missionary, which are missionaries to troubled youth in various centers. Yeah.
Are you speaking of him? Just found out that
their
son has...
Okay, Ralph Stokes' son diagnosed with cancer.
All right.
Okay,
great.
Very good.